So, this is the point where we would normally start our show after a little bit of natter and preamble and lubing each other up.
A little bit of squeaking.
Oh my. And so I'm going to play the theme tune. But for Patreon listeners, I'm going to play the theme tune.
What? Welcome to episode 77 of Every Number One Ever. 77, the year that punk went gone and got broke. New York was plunged into a darkness of its own making. In the charts, Johnny Mathis brought us in, and Wings, the band the Beatles could have been, took us out. But enough of this historical fact, and more of that historical fact. 9 more randomly selected number ones are racked up and ready to go. Will we deem them acceptable to keep and add to our pantheon of popular music, or will we decide that they should be cast into the flames and be replaced by an randomly chosen number two? Oh, the excitement. Oh, the humanity. Oh, God, Craig, it goes on.
It does.
I like a dugong.
A diphthong. A bong bong.
Bang on.
And Liam, dear Liam.
Yes, my darling.
How are we?
Acceptable.
Good.
Mr. Lowe.
I'm fine.
Ready to go. This week's machine, its name will be referred to from henceforth. Girl, I want to take you to a search bar. Girl, I want to take you to a search bar. That's riffing on the massive hit Gay Bar by Electric Six.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not Electric Five or Seven.
And the word gay has been changed to search.
Yep.
Because search bar is what you type information in that you want to find out, like a Google or...
And we'll start with Craig.
No, I've not finished explaining.
My first number one this week is unique number one, number 969. This was number one 69. For 3 weeks before we go any further.
You're rather on yourself.
That was karma, wasn't it?
Before we go any further, let's start a war. Start a nuclear war at the fact bar.
I don't want to go to any of these places.
Oh, sorry.
Hence burying the lead there. This is a one-hit wonder Christmas song from the 27th of December, obviously. And I don't really want to give the year because I think, to be fair, let's go with it because Matt will get this instantly. 2003.
Gary Jules,
Mad World. Yes, Craig, you are absolutely right. I should have nailed
this
that.
This is obviously Michael Andrews featuring Gary Jules with Mad World.
Made famous by Donnie Darko, if that
yes, it was in Donnie Big Darko. And rabbit. Nothing says Christmas like the last thoughts going through a young man who's died's brain as it fires its last synapses. I think the cruelest misjustice of this entire song is it kept the darkness off number one.
I was
one.
Just about to check. I thought there was a, there was a number
it
two.
It kept the bells in.
Yeah, at Christmas don't time, let don't let the bells end.
Something like
was
that.
Kept
yep.
Well, they wanted
one.
To get the word.
Put the bell in.
Bell end. That's,
put the bell
that's
in.
What we're going for. Right.
I find it neither funny nor sad that
what? That's where you're too good for me. You're too good for me.
Obviously, Tears for Fears cover.
Yes, sang by a wet blanket.
Who is Gary Jules? What do we know of him?
He sang Mad World for Donnie Darko.
He was the bass player in Genesis in the 90s.
He wasn't.
Judging that Donnie Darko was essentially a student film that they couldn't afford any sort of rights, I would imagine that he is a complete nobody that they brought in. A local guy.
I've never seen it. It's a big blind spot for
me. Oh, really?
Donnie Darko.
At the time, it was
interesting.
It was
out
film.
When I worked at the cinema as well, so I must have done very well to avoid
people
it.
People like to refer to it as Lynchian. I refer to it as self-masturbatory. It Ooh. Is not very
because
good.
David Lynch, not at all self-masturbatory. No, you are absolutely right, yeah. I don't think it's Lynchian at all.
I think it has Lynchian elements. I think it has Lynchian visuals. I think it tries its best, very, very best, to be David Lynch. And I think the only thing that we can take from
David
it,
David Lynch
really,
mob.
If it's any David Lynch, it's Lost Highway.
Yes.
Yeah.
David Sinch.
But it gave the world everyone's favourite modern-day actor Jake Gyllenhaal.
It did, yeah, before...
This was really his breakthrough.
And all that stuff. Yeah.
Day After Tomorrow.
Was he in that?
Yeah. Quaid was his dad.
In that?
Quaid.
Never seen it. Would you like a bit of information about Michael Andrews?
I would like loads.
Okay, so I've done a quick deep dive, or a shallow dive.
A shallow dive.
according to the director, their budget prevented them from hiring, quote, either Thomas Newman from like American Beauty and Road to Perdition, or Danny Elfman, everything ever.
Of Elfman.
And instead got Michael Andrews, who was much younger, hungry, and very talented, that's a quote, to score the film. Michael Andrews has done films, none of which I've ever heard of.
That's because
low budget, I have heard of. Yeah, he did Bridesmaids.
Great.
Which we all needed. Did, I don't know,
you need to
Dirty Grandpa.
Right, no, give us something that doesn't sound like it's just full of shit jokes. Just even if we don't know it.
Oh, Ali Wong's Always Be My Baby on Netflix, which was a legitimately kind of good, kind of big budget indie is probably the best way to put it, in the kind of Nora's Infinite playlist sort of way.
What's Dirty Grandpa? I'm sorry, I can't.
I think, Jackass spin-off?
Is that Johnny Knoxville takes the joke too far, gives himself, actually does a film in permanent old man outfit, and then does his Jackass-style stunts.
Interestingly,
while weaving a narrative,
there's a narrative as well.
Yeah,
he has done some TV work, and he did the score for Freaks and Geeks, which is kind of quite a.
That's why he's on Bridesmaids.
And he also wrote the theme for New Girl.
Make of that what you will. The old girl, show me his face.
It's Jess.
Where are we? What are we
Jake
doing?
Jake Gyllenhaal's first film was City Slickers 1. Yeah. Continue.
Oh, Mad World. Of course.
Do we need to say anything else about this?
Said anything about it?
There's nothing to say. I mean, it's a good song that's been badly covered. I mean, it's.
I think that's a little unfair, actually.
Why?
I never minded this. I don't mind it. No, I think it maybe is slightly the canary in the coal mine of what is to come.
That's when what it I was going to throw at you. That's what I was going to throw at you.
But, you know.
Does it open the door?
I don't think Gary Jules is a strong enough vocalist to carry this song. I think he has a very reedy and weak voice. It shakes to fuck when he's singing. All around me are familiar faces.
I think there was something quite purposeful in that kind of fragility, though, that they were kind of leaning into. I don't think it is a... Yeah.
Nothing says fragility like a jet engine landing on Jake Gyllenhaal's head.
Yeah.
I think we should move on from
correct.
That.
Correct. Spoilers for Donnie Darko!
I've never seen it. Don't worry,
it's been 21 years. Come on.
Yeah.
I do think...
Spoilers for Wizard of Oz!
I do think, though, that's a point worth considering, though, that maybe this is one of those first sad, breathy covers.
Well, I'll let you continue to cling on to those strands of hope.
I'm not saying that's a positive thing either, Craig. I'm just saying it's a thing.
As we go into unique number one, number 241.
That could be approaching.
Happy with those numbers?
No. I'm just saying it could be approaching. Good. I don't know if I'm happy or not.
65?
No. A bit too early there. This was for number of 2 weeks from the 22nd of November, the year of Lord 1967.
Oh, well, it's not far off.
Proper 60s.
Before we go any...
It's going to be great, this.
Before we go any further... Tell me, do you have any money? I want to spend all your money at the space bar.
No, back.
At the search bar. Search bar. Is it search bar? Yeah, search bar.
It is, but I thought, where's the fact thing?
Oh, the fact bar.
I'm leaving.
Let's do that again.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy this more. Go on.
Tell me, do you have any money? I want to spend all your money at the fact bar. Fact bar. Fact bar. Ow!
No.
That was worth the Patreon alone, that shit. That was worth the fucking Patreon alone.
And
you are wasted here. I mean, I am also wasted.
And after all that vocal dexterity, no facts.
Oh, what a waste.
What a complete waste of time that was. You've not a fucking chance. Press play.
How many weeks?
2 weeks.
Already bored.
That's the vocal line. Is this an instrumental?
Nope.
imagine we just did the same thing again though.
I can hear the guitar start playing.
Who the fuck's that?
You want to talk fragile voices, Craig? Christ.
Yeah, I was so waiting. I was like, come on. Come on.
Right.
Who's this old man in a nursing home?
Keep this going. Keep this going. Just for a little bit. Right.
Honestly, should this man be in like a centre for vulnerable adults?
I think he's already died. Is this the dying breath?
Is this a ghost? Is it
what's
a ghost?
The initials?
LJB.
Lyndon.
That's exactly Long John Baldry.
It is. Right. Who? Not a pirate, Long John Baldry.
Yeah, right,
who's Long John Baldry?
I don't know. It's just, again, these are names that I've taken.
Okay, they
years,
just exist in your brain.
And this is his.
I did not think he would sound like this.
Mega
although he
hit,
sounds like he should.
Let the Heartache Begin. Is the name of the song.
Nothing reels me in like Let the Heartache Begin. This should be an opener of his song.
This shouldn't work in any way, shape or form, except for the fact that I really, really like Baldry's voice in this, and I think the delivery sets it apart from anything else. This could have been any sort of croonery voice, but the fact that you've got a sort of very fragile, weak, almost Dylan-esque delivery. Yeah, yeah.
Who was the guy, Craig? Sorry, do keep up where you're up to. It's just popped into my head. We had did Wandering Star. Was it Lee Marvin?
It was, yeah.
That was the only other time I've recoiled when I heard a voice on this. So it's kind of in that bracket.
I can't believe it. It's a fun little fact. This was written by the same people who wrote Baby, Now That I Found You for the Foundations.
Wow.
So
that's I want to hear Long John Baldry do Baby, Now That I Found You.
Baby.
Can I just look at it?
I think he's a young gentleman.
He is.
Get out!
He is. He's a young lad. He's on pie as well.
He's very much a
weird
young gentleman.
He's sort of like moddy.
Is that affected then, that voice?
I don't know.
Is there a chorus?
Yeah.
45 million. Or 40 me, I reckon.
I've lost that girl for sure. Tears won't help anymore.
Be on the left.
Yes, let the heartaches begin.
God, he's not a good vocalist at all, is he?
It's all very interesting, isn't it?
I mean, it's got a little bit of the... Who does all the music for Pixar?
Randy Newman.
It's got a little bit of the Randy
oh, it
Newman
does.
About
it. Yeah, that was a great there Randy Newman as well.
Walking down the stairs. Tip, tap. Randy Newman narrates his morning.
Oh, wow.
Do I have two sugars or two?
Ah, oh, weird. Check this out. In 1964, Long John Baldry's group, Long John Baldry and his Coochie Men, on his Hoochie Coochie Men.
Oh, thank God for that.
Featured Rod Stewart on vocals and Jeff Bradford on guitar. Stewart was recruited when Baldry heard him busking a Muddy Waters song at Twickenham Station.
Sweet.
After a Baldry gig at Eel Pie Island. The most 60s moment I can possibly fucking really imagine. Is. Not worth keeping for that, though, is it?
Weak sauce!
Three.
Number three.
There you go.
My third and final number one this week is unique number one, number 678. I will point out, these have all been solid numbers, but bad.
So this is a solid number, but yes.
This could split opinion, I'll say. This was number one for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 weeks from the 13th of June in the year of our Lord, 1992. For the final time this week, I've got something to put in you.
Oh, God.
I've got something to put in you.
Oh, God.
At the fact bar, fact bar, fact bar. Oh. Still nothing. Still wasted. It's fine.
I'm going to play the most popular one.
Fair. That's fine. It makes no difference to me on this one.
Why are you talking? What's
you'll
this
understand
about?
In about 3 seconds.
Okay.
If you change your mind, I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still...
Oh, it's an EP.
It's
we
an EP.
Need a sting. For an EP. How many EPs hit number one? Is there any point?
I don't think there is any point, really.
No, I think this
might,
it might
happen
so
once
this is
more.
The Aber-esque EP.
It is.
Erasure.
It is Erasure.
Which means it obviously needs to go straight in the fucking trash.
And I like Erasure and I like ABBA. However,
I do think this is a weak moment.
It was an interesting moment because
it relaunched the ABBA revival off the back of this is the release of ABBA Gold.
Hmm.
That's the only reason ABBA Gold exists, because Erasure, because ABBA already famously have two greatest hits. They have Greatest Hits and Greatest Hits Volume 2 that are already out there. But it takes this to finally put ABBA back into the spotlight.
So what year was this again?
92.
92. So what's interesting about this, because obviously we now live in a point in our life, and this will never change, where we have the whole history of recorded music in front of us at all time. But it's really interesting to note that through our lifetime and most people's lifetime, bands stock, you know, waxed and waned, right, rose and fall. I mean, I remember a period of time where the Beatles weren't held in as high regard. That kind of started come back to prominence with the anthology and then the Britpop bands really buying in. And then obviously that was it. Same with ABBA. ABBA, you know, by 83 when they split, was seen as passé as fork. And
despite the Visitors.
Well, the Visitors killed them stone dead, even though it's awesome. But because that was seen as desperate, the Visitors.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, to try and keep up with the times and all that.
Voyage.
We know what you do. Stop trying to do that. Stop trying to do that. Do the thing. Get back together and split up again. Whatever you do. Get in those four boxes, dickheads.
It feels so late, 1992 as well, for this music.
Well, there was also the Aussie ABBA tribute band who were doing
Bjorn Again.
Which I will lead on to now, because the most interesting part of this whole thing is the response from Bjorn Again, because we no longer had ABBA, but a few months later, Bjorn Again released their, what is considered, debut single. They released their
Erasure-ish.
They released essentially just a two-track single called Erasure-ish that covered A Little Respect, and I can't remember what the other one was, but if you find the cover of A Little Respect, is French Kiss.
That's magic. I never knew that.
No, that's lovely.
And it works. I don't know. I don't think it's on Spotify.
Okay, thank
but
you.
If you go to YouTube,
Erasure-ish.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Nice though. They must have had so much fun trying to do this. That's great.
That's disgusting.
That's my favourite thing. If nothing else,
just out of interest, does it have the flip on it? I don't want to hear the flip, but do we know what it is?
What was the flip?
Craig didn't know, so.
Oh, sorry.
I could Google it if you want.
Erasure-ish. Stop.
Stop. That's all. Yeah. Right. Great. Mint.
That is the most fun part of this. I think Aberesque is poor.
Any ideas what's on Aberesque by any chance? It's five tracks. It's long.
It's
five.
Good EP. Yeah. Money's worth.
So I take a chance, obviously.
EPs for years were my favourite form of imbibement of music. £5 for an EP.
Big hitters.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yep.
Yep.
So we've got Take a Chance, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
Dancing Queen's got to be there.
No, thankfully.
The Winner Takes It All.
No, that would actually be a really interesting
one. I thought
you'd
have done a really good job of that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
No, go give us...
Lay All Your Love on Me is the opener, which is odd.
It's a good tune, that, though.
One of the least popular ones on the EP, though. SOS. And the other one is Voulez-Vous.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't think will be very good done by Erasure.
No.
Anyway.
One of the most underrated pop bands the UK's ever given us.
Very much so, except for this, which I think is a particular low point.
I can see you've got the clout.
Get it out.
Why not? Yeah, indeed.
They didn't. Erasure, I really like, but oh gosh, no, thank you. Not for me. This.
This is going to be the only Erasure we're going to see.
Yep.
I think we've had an Erasure in Honor 2.
Could we get a Yazoo, though?
Yes.
So we can.
I'm not sure, actually. Let me double check.
We could still have a Vince Clarke, then, couldn't we?
Yeah, but are we done with your three, my dear?
We are. So,
where do you stand?
Where do I stand on this big steaming pile of horseshit? Why would I bury the lead? This is poor. Good numbers, bad songs. Gary Jules, one of the worst Christmas number ones in modern time, taking Glad Baby out of the equation. You've got While interesting, forgettable, Long John Daldry. And then you've got a series of badly instrumented ABBA covers that, while laudable for leading to the ABBA revival of the 90s, not very good. Matthew?
Vince Clarke has not had a UK number one other than this. Not in Depeche mode. Yes, Depeche mode. Not in Yazoo. This is his only one. Call me a fool. I'm keeping.
Okay.
I adore Vince Clarke, but I cannot in good conscience vote in a really awful ABBA cover. Something absolutely bizarre from the mid-60s. And then, and to be honest, Mad World's the best thing in it, and that's not very good. So for me, it's got to be a bin.
Thunk, 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 is it?
I'm out! I'm out!
Shall we see what your mucky dip is then, Mr. Craig?
God, be only you by your zoo.
That'd be grand, wouldn't it? Imagine. Here we go.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
Wow!
What a win.
That, one of the number twos.
That proves it.
One of the number twos on the list of why number twos are better than number ones.
What was number one when this...
I mean... Who fucking cares?
Well, this is the point, isn't it? To slightly...
Jav! Jav gets a stride. Yeah.
We've not seen him yet, have we?
He's none. Zero. Zip. That is as close as they ever got.
Wow. Heck.
Heck indeed.
Heck indeed.
You're a good user of the word heck.
I like it. It's nice. It keeps me from going fuck at work. That feels quite lucky, actually. I think we got quite jammy there.
Just a little bit. Do we know what kept it off the top spot? Sorry.
Official charts. 3rd of June. It got to its highest position.
Ah, it's your favourite. Oh, no. Oh, no. It is. It really is a number two's better than number one situation.
Unchained Melody by Robson and Jerome.
So this is definitely where this argument started in my mind, or in perhaps in the mind, because again, it's big music, Big Pharma versus the indies. Even though lest we not forget, Cal's still in indie at this moment in time.
Oh, weird,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but
to keep it on theme, the winner takes it all.
I am gonna jump in and go next. My first number one of the week is unique number one, 1,202. Bad numbers indeed. This was number one for the first time on the 4th of August 2012, and it was number one for 3 weeks. Electric Six, can you give me some facts, please?
Well, there's a new sting.
You know what that means.
No! When we first
came here, we were cold and we were clean. It is, of course, Florence Welch.
Oh, my God.
Let
Craig.
The goose see the gander.
Why does his slander deserve its own sting?
Because I bothered to make it.
You can do this.
You can make your own.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not being funny. That's just, I think I've popped something in my neck.
So the
it
usual...
sounded like a fucking seagull, though.
Yeah.
That was the other week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Seagull,
yeah.
Island? Yeah. Yeah. The usual spooky, wobbly, gothy nonsense from our resident waterfowl, supported by the underwhelming Calvin Harris. It is another someone feet someone. Obviously not a fan of Florence, but really this is suboptimal work by both parties. Another track that does another thing that's the same as all the other things. This thing is like lots of other things. Craig, tell me why I'm wrong.
A subpar Florence track is better than anything else that's been in the chart vocally for the past 20 years.
You really like her, don't you?
I think her voice is unique enough in a sea of homogenised, samey-sounding voices. And for people to sit there and go, Kate Bush is fucking brilliant, and then go, I fucking hate Florence Welch. It does not
That's
compute.
Interesting. That's an
interesting really one. Does not compute. Someone who can, like, absolute... absolutely fillet Kate Bush into high heaven and then go, and Florence Welch can suck a fat one as well.
Florence Welch can
there
suck
is
a
so
fat
much
one
to unpack in those sentences.
I don't think I've ever been enamoured with Kate Bush.
Do we know any Kate Bush? Because I really want... I think you'll find they've got to be both. You've got to be on side with both there. Because I get where you're going out of this. Yeah. I really do.
So, sink one, sink both. Give her a fucking sting running up that hill.
You've really annoyed me.
No, but he's constructing false dichotomies and I'm not playing. Right.
45, me mate.
45? Do you want a drop? Would you like a drop?
Please.
Here we go.
This is Florence phoning it in.
This
just
is
for notes.
Honking away. This is Spectrum, which is Florence and the Machine with Calvin Harris.
It's No One Kiss, but it's not awful, Calvin Harris. But then again, just take those words in order.
Yeah, it's this one. I will argue it was Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding. I think the other week we had with Miracle. You didn't mind it. For me, it left me cold. This doesn't leave me quite as cold, but I'm still not temperate. I'm still somewhere in the Arctic tundra. I'm not frozen to death, but I'm not warm.
Sea bass. Right.
Next up.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Lovely stuff. Well, it all goes down. In fact, I don't know. You might really plumb for this, or you might not, Craig. I honestly don't know where you're going to stand on this one.
So you were about to say it's going to go downhill. I thought we were at the bottom of the hill with...
Oh, no. All the way down.
Wow.
So my next number one was number 1045. This was first number one on the 14th of October, 2006. You are correct to yawn. And let's ask if there are any more facts.
It's been...
You both know this. I'd forgotten this existed. I am not happy that I've been reminded that this existed.
America. Razor Light.
Yes, Razor Light. So before I'm really curious what Craig thinks. Personally, I think it's No Golden Touch, which at least has a memorable melody. It was part of that indie revival or indie renaissance that kind of happens post 2000.
It's just another low shelf in landfill indie.
Yeah, but it's not part of the post punk revival that was also happening. It was slightly wetter and sloppier than that.
The wetter the better.
I didn't realize how cheap this sounds. I'm amazed at how weak the whole thing is. Yeah,
I don't remember it sounding cheap. That's the only reason why I'm.
I don't mind it too much, but I think the production on it is absolutely dreadful.
It's undercut.
Yeah. For something that they want to be as big and as bombastic as that, it feels quite...
It doesn't have the anthemic production.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is down to production. I think if this was better produced, I would like it more.
There's a kernel of something there that you like.
There's a melody in there that's quite nice, but it's quite... Like, it's a bit of a dirge as well. Despite its attempt to be anthemic, I find it quite leaden. Yeah, but it's like, it's not phoning it in, but it just feels... I want it a little bit faster. I want it a bit more energetic. I just want... Just power from it. I'm going to ask Matt first, and then we're going to come to Craig next.
Really, I'd really manoeuvred away from guitar music at this time.
Yeah?
Didn't like it. U2's better than this.
Yeah, and this is attempting to sort of be bits of sort of Joshua Tree-ish U2.
Which is a weird attempt to do something in. What year are we in?
2006. Like, we're way past that. And it's right before the Kings of Leon do it again better.
So let me place myself here because it sounds like I'm immediately binning. I'm not. But it's like, this has nothing to do with me.
Go on.
Go on, Craig.
What do you think of this, Craig? Do you think I'm selling it short, or...?
I think you're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. I think you're trying to make this into something it's not. You're portraying this as some big anthemic rock song that's been undercooked, whereas I think that it's quite a nice acoustic song that's been overcooked.
It's a smaller song
that's been made to sound bigger, and in that case, it succeeds massively. It builds, it crescendos, and it hits the peak it should do. It is not a big anthemic, hold your hands in the air rock song. This is not The Killers. This is nothing like that. This is a nice indie rock song that is aiming slightly above what it should be.
That's really interesting, the fact that we've interpreted this completely
oppositely. I think you've gone the completely wrong way about this. I'll not go into the whole fucking Americana of it all, that just because you think that it sounds vaguely Americana, it's them trying to do you too, because Americana in genre is not just Joshua Tree. And
I need to pull you back. Where's this Americana come from?
Joshua Tree is very much an America. You two doing very much an Americana.
I think that's just you two on steroids. Like, it's I'm not saying you're wrong, Craig. It's just I thought famously that was there.
We've hit America. This is our experiences of our time across America using the American styles of the time, Americana. This is you two interpreting Americana.
No, me neither. It just sounds like Sidon on the Joshua Tree. It sounds like Streets Have No Name.
And when I said that this is trying to sound like you two, I wasn't thinking Joshua Tree. I was thinking like the grandiosity.
I think it's far too jangly to be you two. I think those guitars are far more jangly than anything that Professor the Edge would ever throw out. I think the delivery is far more, I won't say sincere because we can't say...
Oh, no, he's a prick. Right, I've had to break. I didn't want to bring up the fact that Johnny Burrell has got one... Right, they go, I've boxed it off. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
This is your last gasp of cookie cutter indie before Arctic Monkeys completely blew everybody out of the water.
Yeah, I suppose it's
2006.
This is the bubble. I would say that this is probably the last time you're going to get a pop indie track before everybody leans in to say, well, let's sound more like the Arctic Monkeys then.
Yeah, and the Wombats become a thing,
which is what continues from here. I'm reading this completely different to you. I quite like it. I think it's a foot-tapping, pleasant little melody.
So, I'm going to ask you both, in the kitchen, whereabouts are we now?
Fridge.
Fridge?
Near the bin.
Straight in the fridge? Straight in the bin, gosh.
No, not straight in the bin, near the bin.
Near the bin.
This is not a done deal.
Is there anything that can move the needle for you either way?
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, there could be a complete stinker that could sink this, but okay. It's not going to take much for me to keep.
I don't mind. So, for me at the moment, 6 out of 10, Calvin Harris, Florence, 4 out of 10, Razorlight. You get anything above a 7, you've got to save a soft keep.
Okay. Let's find out what my final number one of the week is. This is unique number one, 955. It was number one for 4 weeks, beginning the 17th of May, 2003. Electric Six, Give Me Some Facts.
Can you tell what it is yet?
Oh, no.
And how about that then?
I'm getting the word... Nonce.
Yes.
Right.
I have been imedabined.
So this is something so rare. Please explain to the listener what's just happened.
So whilst most of the time, well, we don't, but we say we try and keep art from the artist. We try and put a kind of crowbar separation between the two concepts. Sometimes some people are just so fucking dreadful that it becomes impossible
to do that.
And therefore... when something so hideous by a nonce lands at the number one spot, it wipes out all of our three.
That's where we drew our line. And I've got to, because we do have people questioning our judgment. The line we had to draw has been, if you are convicted of it. And I know people are like, well, yeah, but it's not. If we just went for people that had done bad things with children but not been convicted of it, we've pretty much got rid of all of the 60s and 50s. For a start, so that's where we've had to draw the line. What was the year again?
It was
2003.
Who is Nonsen in 2003?
When was Ignition number one?
There it is.
Right.
There we go.
Now, usually I don't do this, but...
No, we don't give it the time. No, we don't give it the time to play.
Oh, I don't know. It depends. No, because the best...
If it was Gary Glitter, you wouldn't play Gary Glitter.
The best... some tunes. The best delivery of a Nonsen Media Bin was the first one, the way that you did it. Where you got the song played until R. Kelly started singing. And then it was like, oh my God! Yeah, well, you know, R. Kelly, innit?
Yeah, at this 37 point...
37 years in jail?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll check.
This is, of course, Ignition, Hot and Fresh from the Kitchen.
Remix to Ignition.
Yeah, whatever that is.
It's the remix to Ignition.
It's obviously... this is the weird thing about Ignition. It was a massive tune, wasn't it?
It's the best thing that R. Kelly recorded that wasn't a ballad.
Well, he did that tune with Gaga that was really good, and then she scrapped that from the entire record. It was on Art Pop. This is an Amida bin. So that means that...
Getting fucked. Oh, well, it's saved an argument. Excellent. It means that Thank
Goose,
you, R. Kelly.
Razorlight and R. Kelly are all being burned in the trash can of shame forever.
R. Kelly will be released when he is 78 years old.
Delightful. Hopefully he's dead before he's released. Next up, that means it's time for a mucky dip. This has got to go in.
Forced mucky dip.
Fingers crossed, boys. But I feel like we shouldn't be punished by the karma gods.
You can't have
an Amida bin. So let's pray and hope. So this is Last Train to San Fernando by Johnny Duncan and the Bluegrass Boys. I will find out when it was released for you, but this has kind of come back around in the last 12 months. This was the main theme to Wes Anderson's Asteroid City, his last movie out. But let's find out when it came out. It's obviously a bit of kind of skiffly, bluegrassy, fast-paced thing by... It's not that. It's not the Trinidadian Calypso song. It is a British-born American musician doing a skiffle version. It hit the charts in 1957, so a really early one. I would actually keep this anyway. If this came up in the normal pod, I'd be really happy with it because the soundtrack for Asteroid City is actually a lovely piece of work.
Scatted, thumbs up. Yodeling, thumbs down.
We found my line.
It's fine. Yodeling.
Yodeling. If you miss this one, you'll never get another one. Be-de-de-de-bam-bam to San Fernando.
It's so close, a puzzle to the yodel, sir. It's so close.
Yeah. There we go. That's what is now in our pantheon for time immemorial. Last Train to San Fernando. In that case, it is now time for us to move on. We have expunged R. Kelly from the pantheon once more. And it's time.
I don't know how I feel after a situation like that. I feel no, it's the right thing to do, but it's kind of like brings me down.
Well, I'm guessing Craig's particularly annoyed about that because you liked America and you
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of glad that happened because I could see the writing on the wall and it saved me having to argue.
Well, I'm curious. If we hadn't have had an R. Kelly, if you were just going off those two tunes, Matt, where would you have gone? Would you have been a keeper or a soft bin?
I needed to have a decent third.
Right, kind of.
But it
just
could
like
have
even.
Turned me around. I didn't mind the Calvin Harris Florence thing. I unfortunately cracked with Razorlight and showed my hand that I just don't like them. But that's when you're mucking the song. So I tried. But yeah, it could have been spun, but it would have needed to have been something good.
Fair.
Which it wasn't.
Let's move on and let's wrap up with Matt's final three.
Right, set your watches. This is a land speed record attempt. You need number 1, 1, 2, 9, 5.
Oof.
7th, 2015. Play me a sting.
It's been...
For 1 week, hit play.
Did we have this on the old pod?
I want to dance by water beneath the Mexican sky. Drink some margaritas by swinging blue lights.
country star is this?
Listen to the mariachi play at
midnight. That's country voice.
Are you with me? Are you with me?
So, it's Lost Frequencies, who is a Belgian DJ and record producer. Don't know who the voice is, can't be asked. The song is called Are You With Me? You know it, it's just over 2 minutes long. The guitar is the hook, the vocal line is the hook. It's hardly light opera, but it is a song in miniature. Put it in the list with the rest of the songs that do this. It's fine, the voice is quite annoying. What's your views?
I don't mind a country schwang. It's fine. Right. It separates it from the rest of the pack, gives it an interesting spin.
It reminds me of a much lower energy version of that Avicii tune we had a while back.
Yes.
Wake Me Up tune.
Yeah.
Gives me that a little bit, but without the kind of the grandiosity or the kind of oomph that has. Does it ever really drop? Apparently not.
Who does the... Oh, American country singer Easton Corbin.
Nope.
Wait.
No, thank you.
He looks exactly as he imagined him.
Stetson, big cat country.
No, it's not that. He's,
bro country.
He's more modern,
bro country.
Like, yeah.
A little bit of stubble.
No, 41. Manicured beard, I would imagine.
No manicured beard. Looks clean shaven in this one picture I've got on Wiki. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even get out of bed for this, but it is fine. Right.
This is not a needle mover at all, no. Is it, really?
It's not. It's like...
Stationary.
I wrote fine in capital letters. There you go. This is a needle mover.
Ooh.
685.
Ooh.
Oh, 5th of December, 92.
Ooh.
How long for?
Long time.
So is it a Christmas then?
Yeah. Play the sting.
It's Christmas!
Now, it's down as a record breaker on here. It's not. It's down as the first number one to do 10 weeks since 1954, but that's not the case because we had Bryan Adams the year before.
All right.
But it is 10 weeks.
That's still massive.
Enormous, huge. Epoch-defining. Hit play within the first intake of breath of the first vocal, both of you.
Bodyguard.
Oh, is that what we're getting?
you know what I want, though, right? I'm going to have to skip it in, right?
I do.
And I will always love you.
Whitney gone smoked off her goddamn kneecaps.
She was perfect.
Here's some words. Huge, chart shagging, film tying. Not a patch on the original. The a cappella, hold that. The a cappella leading is great though. Whitney is excellent. The band are fucking awful. Awful pointless sax solo, phoned in guitar work, just dreary fucking nonsense. The 1990s when it was still the 80s, all shoulder pads and heels where it should be satin and barefoot. End of words. Fight back.
I have a lot of time for Dolly Parton. I think this is better than Dolly's version. I think if you define it, previously you said epoch defining or like...
Yeah, but so are natural disasters.
It's just, it is...
This is what it's like to sit in the observation seat of one of these. It's very rare that it's you two.
It's timelessly massive. I think it is incredibly dated, but I think it is stunningly huge. When was it? Back in episode 71, we had Think Twice, which is...
Really good comparison, actually.
Really similar in terms of what it serves. If it was the band and the MD from Think Twice, I think you would have a much higher opinion of this song.
I just think the performance from the band is lumpen. I think to a treacherous perspective on Whitney,
wow.
I think she is blowing hard... doing such a good job, while this bunch of fucking grifters are killing her. Killing her.
I don't know if it's that. I think it's just sit back, boys. Whitney's got shit to do.
All right. Well, they need to get out of the way more.
Right. I think that moment, the big note moment, is one of the iconic moments in pop music.
Okay.
just like maybe like top 10 iconic moments. That video where she's on the bench in the snow, head down, that moment of silence, and then she hits that note. It is perfect. I think it's like a yardstick by which we should mark quality.
Brilliant. And I am fully aware that...
And this is also before pitch correction was possible.
It feels... Look, I have no problem with Whitney. She is amazing. It is a great performance. Yeah, I've said my bit.
Hi.
Hi, Craig. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing real good. I hate this song.
Whoa!
Qualify.
There was a shiver around the room. Oh, this is going to land and break its ankles, this. Jesus.
Can I remind you, before you do this, can I remind you about what I said when House of Fun released me and Three Lions came up and I voted to keep them?
And can I remind you about the aforementioned torpedoes?
Oh, that's...
This is the greatest singer in the world at the time doing a karaoke cover of one of the most beautiful country ballads of all time.
Cynical bastard.
It's from a below average motion picture where Whitney Houston, aka a lump of wood, tries to act her way around Kevin Costner.
We are not judging the Bodyguard film.
I will judge the whole goddamn piece, my friend.
I will remind you that will come back and bite you if you are not careful.
Wow, this is just going to be a war.
This is weak sauce. This is the sort of thing that we hated Bryan Adams for. This is an overly long, overly sentimental song that we all hated hanging around the church for as long as it did, and were singing and dancing in the streets the second something else sold it.
Can I take you to task there?
Please.
What's your opinion of the original?
I really love the original.
You just said that this is overly sentimental.
It is.
How is the original not overly sentimental?
Dolly Parton doesn't nearly use as much melasma as Whitney does on that track.
Okay, so melasma equals overly sentimental,
it is,
does it?
It is a beautifully sung country track from Dolly Parton. It is a diva-ish showpiece for Whitney Houston.
Wow, so cynical.
To cap off a film where, spoilers, she gets shot just after singing the fucker.
I said land speed record because when we got to this, I thought it was me going, I don't really like it. And you guys were going, you're a dick. And then we were going to move on.
Hi.
I'm really, really surprised. Honestly, I was just expecting a wave of Whitney love from you. And we were just going to go.
I was going to say, where are Liam's tablets? He needs his blood medication.
I just can't believe I am the wine? Voice.
I'm going to get
reason.
Some wine. Do you want some wine?
Yes. You know what an important moment this was in popular music history. You know that it was this kind of moment of iconic... Yeah, yeah.
In there?
Yeah, yeah. It was this moment of kind of iconic... Yeah. Verboseness and drama and divaness. But this is one of the things that defines divaness. This piece of music alone is... If you look at the OED, you will find a picture of Whitney Houston doing this song under the word diva. And that is not a negative thing. I don't think you can say it's overly sentimental if you like the original and dislike this. I don't think that's a valid criticism whatsoever.
That's fine.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
That's fine. I will end it by saying if this is the high watermark for you with Whitney, you are doing a disservice to everything that came before it.
It is absolutely not. I think How Will I Know is far better. I think anything of the first two Whitney records.
I think anything before or after this is better.
Cokie Whitney is better than this.
Cokie Whitney didn't actually put anything on wax.
I'm not involved in this bit.
I don't think Cokie Whitney put anything on wax. Cokie Whitney wandered around and sang these songs.
Oh, no, it's not right, but it's okay. That was like deep Cokie Whitney.
Yeah, but that's good. That's good. That's better than this.
Oh, I don't know.
Take care of my babies.
Right, we're on that, we're going to move on. Jesus.
If you guys vote bin, this needs to be a cucumber.
Okay. Well, you never know. It might be saved with a really good...
Don't,
Matt,
don't gaslight me like a bitch.
No gaslighting here. Not my fault.
Don't piss on me and tell me it's raining.
10-17.
It's going to be shit.
Play the 1 week one sting.
Thank you. I'll just do the sting on
it. It's been.
It's not bad, actually.
It's been.
There you go. In fact, you were more in key. Than him, yeah. September 05. Hit play. Fuck off. Fuck off, Noel. I want it to stop. That was Oasis, The Importance of Being Idle. All I've written is fuck off, Noel. I want it to stop.
I've got no opinion about this.
Craig?
It's a Noel Gallagher track. 2-1
bin, I'm guessing. And Cucumber Castle to come.
I've got to keep.
Yeah, okay. 2-1 bin. Matt's put it in the bin.
Craig's been in. Bin it is. Here we go.
That's a Ricky. That's a cover of Sharona. Daddy told me look into the future, sit at your computer. That's an allowed.
It is. This is No Good Advice by Girls Aloud.
Never heard it in my life.
Aren't you glad we got rid of I Will Always Love You?
Yeah, I am actually. Oh. I mean, no offence, mate, but that, Liam, it would have, honest to God, couple that with a couple of actually just average songs, I'd have walked it in.
Wow.
But I just think you're giving that, Craig's a little bit more hardline than I, but I'm really surprised that you're willing to put up with that supposed musicianship behind that. On what is, in essence, like a virtuoso, whether it's devious or not, a virtuoso Vegas ending performance. And that sax solo. Good times! Good times!
I don't know what to do now. Shall we
good times.
Somehow try and wrap this all up?
Remember when this episode started with me doing really good Dick Valentine impression? And ended with Liam possibly killing me. I'm not 100%. We're not there yet. I'm trying not to be too smug because the number of times I've had to sit across from somebody and them doing their counter rebuttal and swaying the vote, it's nice. It's
Craig,
nice to
Craig,
be on
the jury is in.
It is.
You don't need to.
There's such a thing as a bad winner.
There is. Hi. But what do you think, dear Lister? Did we get it completely wrong, as Liam thinks, with I Will Always Love You? Let us know by heading over to everynumberoneever.com, where you'll find a link tree to all our social medias, you'll find our email, you'll find all you need to find there. If you want to throw us a couple of pence, head over to patreon.com/ENOE podcast, where you'll find an abundance of extra material, you'll find playlists, you'll find extra pods, you'll find articles. And all that leaves me left to say is, Liam, I'm really sorry, but how is the Pantheon looking this week, my love?
So, into our Pantheon this week has only gone a measly 3 tracks. We have binned everything this episode. We have lost Gary Jules' Mad World.
Yay.
It's Not Christmas. Long John Baldry with Let the Heartache Begin.
Bong Jong Long Bong.
And Erasure's Aberesque EP have all hit the trash can to be replaced by Pulp's Common People, the only track we can actually agree on this week, which is quite nice. Goosey Gander, Florence Welsh, alongside Aww. Calvin Harris, That's the Noise. Razor Lights America are both got taken out in the sweep of R. Kelly's
pissed all over both of them.
To be replaced by Last Train to San Fernando by Johnny Duncan and the Bluegrass Boys. And finally, in an act of cultural vandalism, Are You With Me by Lost Frequencies, Oasis is The Importance of Being Someone, and Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You has been lost and replaced by No Good Advice by Girls Aloud.
Which certainly isn't any good advice. Hang in there, Liam. It does get better.
Google's been telling me that for years.
And you, Craig, you yes. look... I've never seen you look as happy. Have a good week.
I will.
For you, dear listener, just keep hanging in there. I hope you appreciate the fact that we're all on the wires of our nerves here. And we'll leave you with Jarvis. So see you next week. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye. And I...
Thank you.